वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट 8 एतेनैवाहि अगुणो अस्य कृतं स्यात् अगा निष्कृतं यदा नारायणायेति जगादा चतुर अक्षरम् एतेनैव हि अगुणो स्या कृतं स्याद् अगा निष्कृतम् यदा नारायणायेति जगदचतुरक्षरम् एतेनैव हि अगुणो स्या कृतं स्याद् अगनिष्कृतम् यदा नारायणायेति जगदचतुरक्षरम् एतेनैव हि अगुणो स्या कृतं स्यादगं निष्कृतम् यदा नारायणायेति जगादचतुरक्षरम् एतेनैव अगुणो स्या कृतं स्यादगनिष्कृतम् नारायणायेति जगदचतुरक्षरम् एतेनैव अगुणो स्या कृतं स्यादगनिष्कृतम् यदा नारायणायेति जगदचतुरक्षरम् एतेनैव अगुणो स्या कृतं स्यादगनिष्कृतम् यदा नारायणायेति जगदचतुरक्षरम् एतेनैव अगुणो स्या कृतं स्यादगनिष्कृतम् यदा नारायणायेति जगदचतुरक्षरम् एतेनैव अगुणो स्या तं सर्वनिष्कृतम् यदा नारायणायेति जगदचतुरक्षरम् Matajis. Etenaiva egon hosya kritasyat aganiskritam da narayanayeti jagada chatarakshanam etena by this chanting. Eva, indeed, he certainly, agona, who possesses sinful reactions, asya, of this ajamiyo, kritam, performed, syat, is, aga, of sins, niskritam, complete atonement. Yada, when Narayana. O Narayan, the name of his son. Aya, please come. Iti, thus. Jagada, he chanted. Chaturaksharam, the four syllables, Narayana. Translation. The Vishnu duties continued. Even previously, while eating, and at other times, this Ajamil would call his son, saying, "My dear Narayan, please come here." Although calling the name of his son, he nevertheless uttered the four syllables, Narayana. Simply by chanting the name of Narayan, in this way he sufficiently atoned for the sinful reactions of millions of lives. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Previously, when engaged in sinful activities to maintain his family, Ajamil chanted the name of Narayan without offenses. To chant the holy name of the Lord just to counteract one's sinful activities, or to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name, is offensive. Namno baladas yasya hi papa buddhi. But although Ajamil engaged in sinful activities, he never chanted the holy name of Narayan to counteract them. He simply chanted the name Narayan to call his son. Therefore, his chanting was effective. Because of chanting the holy name of Narayan in this way, he had already vanquished the accumulated sinful reactions of many, many lives. In the beginning, he was pure, but although he later committed many sinful acts, he was offenseless because he did not chant the holy name of Narayan to counteract them. One who always chants the holy name of the Lord without offenses is always pure. As confirmed in this verse, Ajamil was already sinless, and because he chanted the name of Narayan, he remained sinless. It did not matter that he was calling his son. The name itself was effective. Ete naive agonosya kritam syaragam niskritam ira narayanayeti jagada chaturaksharam. The Vishnu duties continued even previously. While eating and at other times, this Ajamil would call his son, saying, "My dear Narayan, please come here." Although calling the name of his son, he nevertheless uttered the four syllables, Narayana. Simply by chanting the name of Narayan in this way, he sufficiently atoned for the sinful reactions of millions of lives. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Giranjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sugurave Namah. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. So herein, the different stages of chanting are given. We were driving up to a program in the north, Naikatma and company, and we heard one lecture from Srila Prabhupada some months back that there are three stages of chanting. All chanting is not equal. There's offensive chanting, as Prabhupada points out here in the purport. There's clearing stage chanting, and there's offenseless pure chanting. All chanting is not equal. It's not all one. There are many different stages. And Prabhupada explained that offensive chanting means I chant just like so many Mayavadis are chanting, even Hare Krishna mantra, but with no regard for the regular principles of freedom and no regard for the 10 offenses against the holy name. That is offensive chanting. It's chanting, but it's third class chanting. And therefore, we don't play this kind of chanting in our temples. We only play the chanting of bhaktas and bhaktins who are striving at least for second class chanting. Second class chanting, Prabhupada described, means the clearing stage, when one has great regard for the 10 offenses, and great regard for the four regulative principles of freedom, but one may not be 100% pure. One keeps on chanting in that second class position and ultimately will reach the first class platform. And we especially get great effect by hearing the chanting that is done on the first class platform. By hearing Srila Prabhupada, we have so many nice bhajans and tapes, the whole series of tapes and bhajans of Srila Prabhupada, vintage tapes of Prabhupada chanting, so many bhajans, so many Krishna kirtans, Hare Krishna kirtans. And that chanting, which is said to be pure chanting, which is offenseless and pure chanting, has a total regard for the 10 offenses and totally following the four regulative principles of freedom. That's pure first class chanting. And when one hears that chanting, then one becomes actually purified. It isn't like some cinema song that we chant for some recognition or for some sentiment, but it's actually meant 100% for the pleasure. Yayatma supersedesti, for the pleasure of Lord Krishna and giving total pleasure to the soul. The difference between singing some song or even singing offensive chanting and singing this offenseless chanting is like day and night. Offenseless chanting brings one to Krishna consciousness, brings one to devotional service. And offensive chanting gradually can bring one to devotional service, but is more or less like Prabhupada has described, milk touched by the lips of serpents. Maybe it's nice sing-songy, maybe they're nice vocal intonations and beautiful sounds and music accompaniment, but if it's third-class chanting, if it's not done by chanting by a devotee of Lord Krishna, then Srila Prabhupada explains in that lecture from, I think it's an address from his chanting, that it's like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. When milk is touched by the lips of a serpent, it becomes poison. That milk is no longer fit for drinking. So here, Ajamil, he wasn't chanting to counteract his sinful activities, although through his life, because he was attracted to the prostitute, he had fallen from his position of offenseless chanting. He had given up his sadhana. So many examples in the Vedic literatures of different personalities like Bhart Maharaj. He was attracted. He was living in the forest and he was performing his sadhana, great austerities and penances, chanting and meditating. And he saw one deer giving birth to a doe. And it was a dangerous birth-giving situation because the deer was, I think, being chased by some animal. She gave birth prematurely to the doe and passed away. So the doe had no one to take care of. Bhart Maharaj immediately became affectionate to the deer. And because he was affectionate to the deer, taking care of the deer and feeding the deer and being very sentimental about the deer, he actually for a time gave up his devotional service. This is the danger of this material world. Bharat Maharaj, Ajamil, so many examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that if we let our guard down and become sentimental about sense gratification or associate with worldly minded people, associate with sense gratification, the path of bhakti is so straight and narrow that if one gives up the association of the devotees, gives up one's chanting, and associates with non-devotees and associates with sense gratification, gradually one loses all one's godly qualities. Someone may say, oh, I'm just going out to work in the world and I'll affect the people around me by my association. But Maya is so strong that when we associate with others that aren't Krishna conscious, usually even Bharat Maharaj, he became affected by his affection for the doe, or what do you call a baby deer? Fawn. Doe is a doe, a deer, a female deer. That's a different. Fawn, from the fawn. He became attached to that fawn, and Ajamil, he became attached to the prostitute, but because he had grown up in the Vedic conception, he named his child, his youngest child, Narayan. And therefore he was always chanting, not to counteract his sinful activities, Srila Prabhupada points out, because that kind of chanting is offensive. But he was chanting just out of affection for his son. O Narayan, come and see Narayan, come and eat Narayan, where are you going, Narayan? Similarly, in our Krishna consciousness movement, we change our names. Yesterday they made me the signer on the inter-religious council. And so they passed a resolution that Sura will be the signer on the checks. And that had to go to the bank. And I said, well, you can't send that resolution to the bank at the meeting. They said, why not? I said, because Sura is really not my name legally. My name is whatever. Stewart. And they all looked, and he's got an AKA. Usually when someone's a criminal, they have AKA, also known as. And so I explained that, well, we get spiritual names when we get initiated, and we go by that spiritual name. And Prabhupada did that so that we would call out, hey Govinda! Hey Gopal! Hey Krishna! Let's go, Radha, it's time to leave. The van's ready. So we're constantly chanting transcendental sound vibration. Even Prabhupada taught us to name our children. People are sometimes amazed, what's your daughter's name? I said, oh, Sita. And what's your son's name? Ram. So that we're chanting to the kids all the time. The kids are running around the house, Sita, Ram, Sita, Ram, Ram, Sita, Sita, Ram. That's the purpose of these transcendental names. So Ajamil, his son was named Narayan, So he was constantly chanting Narayan, offenselessly, because he was not chanting to counteract the sinful activities, but he was chanting out of selflessness for love for the child. Of course, one may say, well, that's sense gratification. But at the same time, he wasn't, Prabhupada explains here in the purport, trying to counteract any sinful activity. So this is our business, to give people the chanting. We read this morning, Suhas Prabhu read, that our most important activity is to give people Srila Prabhupada's books, where they can learn this science of Krishna. If we just practice Krishna consciousness ourselves, it's very nice. And I think it's called Pantra Tricky Vidhi. You read this morning. The Pantra Tricky Vidhi means I practice, I do my deity worship, I do my sadhana, and I'm very happy in Krishna consciousness. But Srila Prabhupada taught us that preaching, going out and giving Krishna consciousness, that's Bhagavat Marg. We read this morning. Prabhuji read this morning. And without Bhagavat Marg, Prabhupada even said, we didn't read this one yet, but there's one quote where Prabhupada said, if you don't go out and preach, there'll be no more Hari Hari Bol. And that we can say Hari Hari Bol, but without preaching, there'll be no more Hari Hari Bol. So our main activity is Bhagavat Marg. Of course we have to have Pancha Tricky Vidhi. We have to have our sadhana bhakti. And we have to take care of the temple and do our temple activities. But we should arrange our lives in such a way that there is full of Bhagavat Marg, full of giving people Srila Prabhupada's books. Even we're working in this world to maintain our family and our children, somehow or other, we have to engage in the Bhagavat Marg, preaching Krishna consciousness. And we have a practical example. It's like Sunday, we had such a nice program of distributing Bhagavad Gita Saturday, all day, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books in Mass. And everyone who participated felt a very special, Nakama Prabhu was explaining, a very special spiritual enthusiasm and peacefulness. That when one goes and preaches Krishna consciousness, it's wonderful to chant your rounds and follow the regular principles and do devotional service in the temple. But when we actually go out and preach, especially when we give people Srila Prabhupada's books, we read this morning, that special taste and that special mercy is there. Prabhupada gave that service because he knew we were so passionate American boys and girls. But to engage in such a nice activity, transcendental activity, of giving others Srila Prabhupada's books and prasadam and the holy names, and especially Srila Prabhupada's books, that it would engage our entire consciousness and our entire bodily function, bodily engagement. Everyone worked very hard and felt, even they didn't distribute so many books. I think on Sunday the boys went out, so many devotees. It was a very tough spot in, Orange County. But because they were endeavoring to distribute Krishna consciousness, Krishna blessed them with the taste of bhakti yoga. So that taste, which we're always hankering for, that taste is there for us to experience, but we have to actually, as we were reading this morning, go out and give the taste to others. The secret is, the secret of that success, the secret of all secrets, is that one has to go and give that taste, give the chanting, give Srila Prabhupada's books to others. Pranay Pai Swanina Pani Bhadra Bhairesu Bhuteshu Mohiteshu Atma Mayaya. One has to sacrifice one's own life for the sake of others, and then one can experience the real taste of spiritual life, Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is there for everyone to experience, for everyone to taste, but especially for one who goes out and preaches, for one who sacrifices their energy to give people Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, to change the world. For those persons, that taste is more easily and readily available for relishing. So, of course, we're not working just to relish a spiritual taste. We're working to please Lord Krishna and our spiritual master, and to advance in Krishna consciousness, to get more and more purified. And this is the science that Srila Prabhupada is giving. It's not something that Prabhupada gave because he wanted his books distributed as a mundane achievement, but because Prabhupada had such great compassion for the fallen souls of Kali Yuga and saw that even chanting without philosophy is not going to help these poor rascals, or even engaging in eating Krishna prasadam, but that they have to understand the sweet science of Krishna consciousness as given in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And therefore, he sacrificed his own life. 70 years old, coming over with two heart attacks. We can't even imagine what that means. I got a little bit sick a few months ago, and I was ready to just retire from everything, and not that old like Srila Prabhupada was. Prabhupada had two heart attacks on the boat, and he just became more determined. He didn't rest. Can you imagine? When he came on the boat, he immediately went to work for a year with no results. Prabhupada went for 1 year with no results. Nobody really came in 1965. Until 1966, Srila Prabhupada was even going to the, what do you call, boat docks, and looking to see when the boats are going back to Calcutta, going back to India. There was very little result in the cold winter. Prabhupada had never seen snow. He said that he thought that someone was whitewashing, what do you call, the fences. He looked out the window, and Prabhupada had never seen snow. In India, except in certain way northern places, there is no snow. Prabhupada came to the New York City, freezing cold, snow everywhere, ice, elderly gentlemen, not even with proper clothes. Prabhupada had those little shoes with the curl in September. October, it's freezing in New York. I was just there. It's freezing. Literally, 30 degrees. And Prabhupada went and sacrificed his life. So out of his great compassion, his purports are his transcendental realizations, and out of his great compassion, he gave his books And it's our business to distribute somehow or other, to give people Krishna consciousness. Chanting is wonderful, but if they don't have the philosophy, this one bogus yogi said at a festival we attended, my guru, he never translated any books, he never built any temples, and he never initiated any disciples. So I looked up and I was like, well, first of all, you said he's your guru, and he never initiated any disciples, so he's not your guru. If he didn't initiate anybody, you're not his disciple. Second of all, who did translate books for the welfare of people, build temples as oases in the desert for people to come to, and initiate so many disciples with devotee names, transcendental names? So that kind of chanting without philosophy, this rascal said that all my guru did was shine like the sun, and we bathed in his sunshine. And everyone was, and clapping. And I actually asked somebody, do you have a gun on you by any chance that I could borrow? Our spiritual master, he also shined like the sun, so we want to serve him. We don't just sit around and bathe in the sunshine. That's what people do that have nothing in their life. They go to the beach and they sunbathe to make their skin a darker color. But devotees, good sons and daughters, they have something to do. They have to serve the source of the sunshine. They have to serve the spiritual energy. And that's our business. That service Srila Prabhupada gave us to distribute Krishna consciousness. Save ourselves first, become Krishna conscious, and distribute Krishna consciousness far and wide. And like Ajamil, we'll be given an opportunity, a second chance, to be saved from seeing the Yamadutas, and be able to see the Vishnu Dutas, and be given opportunity to go back home, back to the spiritual world at the end of this life. Any questions or discussion? All glories to Sri Govind Guru.